Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your first-time viewers out there. As always, this TV show is presented by Playing the Field. Playing the Field is a sports fan community and dating app that facilitates and makes it a lot easier to connect with your fellow sports fans, whether it's somebody to chat about the games with, go to games with, or even just find a romantic partner or your MVP, as we like to say. Pre-registration for the mobile apps is open at playingthefield.io. And you could also try out our beta if you wish at playthefielddating.com. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how we doing?
Doing well, Mike. Today was a beautiful day in New York City. Hit about 60 degrees there. We had a great weekend of All-Star Weekend with the NBA. We had a lot of rumblings in the NFL, but all is well. And I think where we need to start is the NBA All-Star Game. And Mike, a crime took place Sunday night at halftime of the NBA All-Star Game. A man was robbed in plain sight. They didn't call the cops. No authorities were involved. And they just plain robbed him. And Obi Toppin, yes, the young rookie from the New York Knicks, won the slam dunk contest. His first dunk came off the wing, under through his legs and dunked it, then jumped over his dad and Julius Randle, and then went from the free throw line through his legs and dunked it. But the judges said, you know what, let's just rob it from him. We're going to give it to this other guy. I'm not even going to name his name because I don't even know who the other guy was. All I know is it was my guy,
Anthony Simmons.
There it is. Okay, Anthony Simmons. Fine. He was who did he play for? The
Portland? Oh,
Portland Trailblazers. Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't even matter. The point is, our boy Obi Toppin was mugged. He was robbed of his dignity, of his pride. They stole the trophy right out of the room. And this gentleman, Anthony, Portland Trailblazers, won. And it was just an absolute disgrace. And obviously, Team LeBron. And what can you say about Steph Curry? That guy could shoot from New York to Golden State and not miss. It is absolutely
unbelievable.
And he just hits everything. And he's incredible. And but yes, it was a great All-Star weekend. However, our boy Obi Toppin was robbed. And that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, I personally feel that the first round – they overvalued his dunk. I thought all three were about even. No. I thought they were all about even in the first round.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was 4 points better than – who was the other guy? Not Simons.
No, we don't even know. We don't even know. Look at that.
The other guy. I can't remember.
We'll just call him the other guy.
Yeah. I thought they were all pretty even there. And then the second round, I don't know how that T-Mac one got so much praise. Yeah, if it's been done before, just because you're copying, I don't know. I guess a lot of it's copying, but how did it get better scores than jumping over two people?
I don't know. Cassius Stanley is the other guy from the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. It was Anthony Simmons, Obi Toppin, and Cassius Stanley. After watching, they got to do away with the dunk contest. There's nothing new about it. There's nothing fresh. I don't know. It just seems that there's no new dunk out there to try or anything like that. And no disrespect to Obi and Anthony and Cassius, but like the dunk contest was Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan. It was Tracy McGrady. It was Blake Griffin jumping over a car. It was Dwight Howard being Superman. And now these guys don't even want to take a part in the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. We've never seen LeBron James in the dunk contest. I don't think we'll ever see like a Steph Curry in the dunk contest. And I just think that for the game, it kind of just takes away from the game itself. And it should these guys, LeBron should do one dunk contest. I'm sure he's got a couple of dunks out there. Do one for the fans. But that's just my opinion on it. I just think that the dunk contest, there's nothing new out there. So,
and the same thing could be said for the All-Star game and in a whole, the Pro Bowl, the MLB All-Star game, the Home Run Derby. My personal favorite is the Celebrity and Legends softball game. That's my favorite.
Well, yeah, because they can't play. They're unathletic out there just trying to play. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's always fun. And then when they hit home runs, it's, you know, 200. Yeah, it's 200 feet in, and they're just like monsters when they hit these home runs. And meanwhile, it's a single in regular.
Yeah, it's a pop-up in a regular game. It's great.
Yeah, but it's fun. Obviously, you got the celebrities and a lot of comedians just making it a fun time to watch. Better off than the home run derby. But yeah, the All-Star game, was pretty much a rout. Everyone expected it to happen. LeBron's team was stacked with superstars, and you might as well call them the Monstars, even though LeBron's going to be facing off against the Monstars in just a few short months. But speaking of Space Jam 2, the original athlete that was supposed to be in talks to be the Michael Jordan successor was originally Blake Griffin. He was riding high in Los Angeles with the Clippers. And since then, he's moved on to the Pistons and now released from the Pistons. Never won a championship. And he's got scooped up by the Brooklyn Nets. So how far has he fallen? But now he's landing in in the Monstars of the NBA. Yeah. You got Durant. You have Harden. Yep. You have Irving. Yep. And then you got Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin's not going to be the one that has to carry the team. And that's the perfect situation for him to be
100%.
In. And it's a good thing that they ended up going with LeBron for Space Jam 2. Right now, the Nets are looking like they have a valid chance at making it to the finals and possibly putting up some kind of a fight.
No, I think the Nets right now are the team to beat in the East, no doubt about it. And Blake Griffin going to the Nets is just the rich get richer, right? They get Harden. They get Harden. Kyrie comes to the team. Kevin Durant comes back. And Durant comes off back off an Achilles, tearing his Achilles. And he's the second, third best player in the league. The guy is just incredible. And so that team is going to go to the NBA Finals. I think there's no doubt about it. I don't know. I love my beloved Knicks. I don't even know if they would match up with them in a playoff series. I don't know that Miami can match up to them. I don't know if Giannis's Milwaukee Bucks will be able to match up with that team. They can score from everywhere. The question is, can they defend, right? And it's pretty much, if Anthony Davis can't come back for the Lakers and be 100%, LeBron's going to be out there by himself pretty much trying to win that championship. Yeah, they have to get somebody in there, Elmer Fudd or Wile E. Coyote or whoever it is. But that's going to be a daunting challenge for LeBron James if he does get to an NBA Finals. That'll be his 11th NBA Finals. To go up against that team, that offense, it's you look at it on paper right now, you say to yourself, how do they pull it off? You got to give the Nets, make them the favorites to going into that series. But it's just, it's incredible. And think about the Nets, happened with the Nets, right? They were over the cap. Somehow they got under the cap. They were trying to build through the draft. And then, boom, they get an opportunity to land Durant. Kyrie goes there. And then Durant comes after that. They don't play for the year. Now they come back. And then James Harden finds his way to Brooklyn. And then Blake Griffin. And here's the thing. With the Knicks having the season they're at, in New York, the Nets are like, it's the Nets. It's Brooklyn. Because the real team here, it's New York. It's the Knicks. They're the ones. And like you said, it's a perfect spot. The media glare is not big on them. And you listen, they're the team to beat right now. So he's got a good shot of winning the ring.
Yeah, they're certainly the team to beat. And I got my marketing mind going. And I could just think of like how they could tie in Lakers Nets in the finals in what is it? Is June, right?
It might be a little later, maybe July.
Wow, so it might actually fall right around the time Space Jam 2 comes out.
Yeah.
In mid-July. So they're going to have LeBron against the Monstars in real life and in Warner Brothers world. Yeah, so it's exciting, and let's see how it plays out. I'm sure it's gonna be fine, and with Blake Griffin not having to do too much and carry the load there with everyone else over there. And you mentioned Giannis a little bit, so MVP honors for Giannis. So congratulations to him.
Yeah. Steve Nash too, first year coach. Guy didn't have to do anything. Wins an NBA title.
Well,
let's see if he wins.
Quite possibly, it could happen. Mm-hmm. It could happen. Mm-hmm. So, without further ado, we will be welcoming on a returning guest.
A good friend of the show.
He joined us early on in season one, and we are excited to reconnect with him and invite him back on the show. Now, please welcome Cohen Real. Cohen, how you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Cohen, what's up,
man?
It's nice to be back. It's crazy. You guys got a whole new setup going. I love it.
Yeah. We've upgraded.
we've moved just up in the world.
We're not a podcast. We're not a podcast anymore. We're a TV show live in living color.
That's right.
But a big thanks to you and all the rest of the guests that have come on and just made this just a fun show to come on, fun show for us to host and just talk to people like yourself. So that's the last time that Appreciate it. The last time that you were on. You were starting up your real training, your soccer training, helping the kids learn soccer, and you were also playing for a team down in Florida. Was it the Strikers? Is that right?
The Palm Beach Breakers is who I was playing for.
Breakers. So talk to us about what's been going on since we chatted last.
Oh, it's been crazy. Basically left Florida in December, late December, came back to Ohio. COVID's still going on, obviously, so it's still postponed my timeline pretty much at this point. Just back in Ohio. Luckily, last year I was supposed to be going to North Dakota to play for a semi-professional team up there, but again, they canceled that league. But luckily, my contract rolled over to this year, so fortunately, I'm actually getting to go up there in mid-April, I think, is when I leave, so I'll be getting to go up there. But other than that, just in Ohio right now, training kids, reffing, doing whatever I can to stay busy at this point.
Awesome. And so how did you go about landing that, you know, that job over in North Dakota? Did you have to go there, try out? Did people come by you? Talk to us about how that works.
Yeah, so luckily, being X amount of states over and about an 18, 20-hour drive to get there, all I had to do was send in a highlight film to them. They just kind of reviewed that. It's the same process if I were to do it for an abroad team, like the Australia opportunity I was talking about. Because obviously, I can go down there for a trial, the likelihood of getting signed at that point going down there. But it's a 50-50 at that point. So coaches would rather see the highlight film than once you come, they know already what to expect and they kind of fine-tune you along those lines.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Cohen, thank you for coming on again. So what's the state of play in soccer out there in North Dakota? Are there like really talented kids playing out there? Is there talent that we don't know about that the country hasn't seen? Tell us what's going on over there.
So from my understanding, the league I'm going to be playing in is actually fairly good, especially the region I'm going to be playing in, Midwest region. It's apparently like one of the best regions in there other than your Californias and your Floridas and New York's area, just because that's where basically all the quality players in any sports are from. But in regards to that, Minnesota has tremendous teams up in that area. South Dakota also has their own team. Wisconsin, you got teams just all over the Midwest that have players. But again, in America, it's not like baseball, football. You can go to a combine and get seen. And then from there, your state or your city even starts to come up and about for recruitment. Up in those areas, soccer's obviously not big. So for them to get out of that area is hard. And this just gives them another pathway to finally get out of there. So from what I'm told, there's quite good quality players up in there, so I'm excited for that.
All right. Cool. Cohen, I want to get into something. You are obviously our resident soccer analyst, I like to say, over here.
Yeah.
And what happened to Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus that they got knocked out by Porto? What's going on with that? Tell our viewers, fill us in.
I'm not a big Ronaldo fan anyways to begin with. So for me, it's music to my ears. It's definitely music to my ears. But other than that, soccer's sadly one of those just sports that anything can happen at any given moment. Sadly for them, they're out. They also have an American boy on their team too that's really good, so I feel for him. That would have been huge for him to get to a Champions League final and all that fun stuff. But sadly, happily for me, they're out. But sadly for the American boy, they're not pursuing it anymore. So craziness. Awesome.
That's great. So we got a big fan group over here. A lot of groupies over here.
Oh, wow. You got to Ohio. Followers.
So talk to us about real training. How are things going with that, especially with all the complications with like COVID and stuff, and obviously hitting a second strain later on in the year last year? You know, talk to us about how that was affected.
When I was in Ohio, obviously it was affected at the beginning just for the fact of being that everything was new. It came on about. So I had to sadly shut that down for about a month and a half, then left for Florida. But I'm telling you, once I got down to Florida, it was like it wasn't even a virus down there. Everybody was very open about it. Trainings and everything were still going about. So training down there was hit and miss. It's harder down in a big state like that with a lot of soccer players, a lot of trainers down in that area that kids go and see. You also have a lot of former, I guess you say, professionals that are coaching on these teams that also do their side training. So Florida was definitely hard. Moving now back up to Ohio, I'm residing in North Canton right now. Fortunately for me, I've gained quite a few trainees. There's not as many trainers up here, so I've been trying to market and advertise. It's a pain in the butt. As I told you guys last time, coaches hate private trainers for whatever reason. I don't know. Parents are flocking to me saying they appreciate what I do and they wish they would have found me sooner and so forth and so on. It just goes to show the soccer industry training wise that it's just so hard to get over that hump. But once you get over the hump, it's good. So real training itself is going strong. I'm taking it to wherever I go. Hopefully when I go to North Dakota, I'll be able to get some trainees up there and just continue to grow it more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously best of luck on that. The new atmosphere, new group of potential trainees. And you say it's obviously a, you know, very popular place in aside from the main metropolitan areas to learn soccer, and big time soccer fans, soccer players out there. We do appreciate him as a trainer. So maybe this is a trainee, you know, for some reason in Facebook, you got to give StreamYard access or else we can't see your name, unfortunately. So you are Facebook users. Sorry to say.
Like seven or something like that. Yeah.
Look at that. You got a lot of fans. Look at this guy.
Love it.
Look at this. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
You got an awesome little network. You know, so thank you all for tuning in. When does the season start? And then also tell us about a little bit more about how everything's going with that whole overseas narrative.
What was the first question?
When does the season start?
It starts May 8th, I believe, is our first game. So we report for preseason April 15th. So that's going to go about that way. Okay. And I think it lasts until mid-July, beginning of August, and then playoffs start. But for overseas, Australia, they still have their border shut down. So obviously I can't get into there. I was supposed to go down to Costa Rica for a trial, but I had a knee injury at the time, so I didn't get to go down there. But it's touch and go, trying to figure out if the vaccination passport is going to be a thing at this point in time, if I'm going to need to get the vaccine. Yeah. Some countries, you just have to show a negative test. Other countries, you know, you can't even get in there anyways. It's so uncertain at this time, and I think a lot of people forget about the professional sports industry. Not even, obviously, you have your baseball and your football, which are big in America, so it's not really that big of a deal. But for abroad, for soccer players, for us, we don't know. It's a scary fact of what's our next move. We're just playing day by day. And I think for a lot of us, we're just sitting here with, you know, our tail between our legs trying to figure out where do we go? And America, too, at the time being, once COVID and everything happened, a lot of players couldn't go from state to state. States had restrictions on getting in. So for a lot of us, it's a wasted year, almost 2 years now, trying to figure out, again, where are we going? What are we doing? So with the agency, again, they have no answers. It's a sad world that I'm in right now. But again, it's hoping for the best at this point.
Yeah, I read today that China was already, they came out with the first passport, I think, COVID vaccine. Yeah, they were one of the first countries. So, Cohen, let me ask you this. You're going to play up in North Dakota. Any chance that, you know, any of the MLS teams take a look at you and see you and say, hey, why don't you come play for us? Would you jump at an opportunity to play for an MLS team?
So you get opportunities in the league that I'm going in. A lot of players they're former professionals, but also a lot of them are heavily involved in the college athletics. So for a lot of these guys, they just graduated or they're getting ready to graduate. So it keeps them playing. A lot of guys get invited to combines at times. USL League One, USL Championship teams also take looks at you. You know, for what I've been told with the division I'm playing in, luckily it's, again, one of the most popular, and they've sent a lot of players into the MLS draft, a lot of them into the combine, and a lot just from the connections that they have. So the options are plentiful. It's just I got to make sure I'm playing well, got to make sure I'm staying fit, so forth and so on. I remember you guys asking me this last time if I would think about playing in the MLS or even America in general.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's tough because I'm not a fan of just the style of play here. I'm not a fan of the politics.
I remember something to that effect. Yeah.
Yep. But the more I look at it, it's more politics anymore, anyhow, in my opinion, with the American system. Just seeing guys talk about their experiences in other leagues and the world, some of them tell me they get praised basically, even if they're in a lower division level, just because soccer's life for them in any country you basically go to. Here it's, hey, I'm playing professional soccer. Okay, and cool. Baseball or football or basketball is a whole
cow. You know, you're like a god.
And again, the pay difference here compared to over anywhere is completely different. Not saying pay is a huge deal for me, but America's getting expensive to live in. So for me to sit there on a $1,500 a month salary, it doesn't fare well. So
yeah.
It's a lot of things you got to consider.
Got it. So for our viewers who did, you know, maybe didn't see the show last time, we talked about the different styles of play. What's the style? How different is the style of play, let's say, the American side, the soccer versus, you know, you go to Europe? I remember you were talking about England, London, or in Germany, yeah, or in Spain. Break down the difference in style of play.
Style of play in America is more just, I wouldn't say kickball, it's just run and gun. Just kick the ball forward, try to attack, get back, and defend. It's just repetitive after repetitive. You don't see guys contain and possess a ball for very long. You go to England, it's 1-2 touch soccer, bang, bang, bang. Spain is very technical. Players are gifted, like your Neymars, who is from Brazil. You can compare Brazil to Spain soccer. It's just, it's unbelievable to sit there and watch. You know, as I told you guys last time, watch an American game, then go watch an EPL game or a La Liga game or a Serie A game and tell me you don't see a difference. Don't, you know, the atmosphere is completely different. Everything about being abroad is just, it's where I want to be. So,
no, you watch some of those MLS games, man, there's 70,000 people in those stadiums and there's a lot of passion. But you're telling me that, but isn't that kind of similar then? I guess, I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to jump in here, but. Just like the American game is straight to the net, go for it, which is like the English game is 1-2 touch and then go. Isn't that kind of like similar?
It's so in America, it's actually declining in attendance rate. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
There's so much to dive into and the reasonings behind that. But so with England, it's more possessive. So you keep the ball longer. You're not sitting there trying to just shove it down the throats, hope that you can get down. Here, it's just, it's, I call it too quick soccer. We can put it that way. I got the kids that I train or taught at a young age, attack, 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 run as fast as you can with the ball. Over there, I watched 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds possess the ball back and forth, move the ball around defenders, shift the defense, and all this fun stuff. And I just sit there and go, wow, we are going to be the most far behind nation in soccer that I could, you know, imagine.
Wow, all right. So much for us winning the World Cup.
Yeah, right.
So let's chime in with a couple of our fans watching. I really wish that we could see their names, but your love is appreciated nonetheless.
Yes, you are a big hit on Facebook.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So America is like the West Coast offense that you see in football. And then, you know, you have everywhere else is more of that clock control, ball control, ground and pound, just control the clock and not give the ball back to the other team. And America is just go for the gusto, couple of kicks, try to get it in the net. If you don't get it, then it just goes back and forth and back and forth.
That is the best thing. Yeah, that's the best comparison I've heard yet on trying to compare the games. That's 100% accurate right there.
So you have to make the analogy between soccer and football.
Football, yeah,
right?
football and football. It's crazy when Rick said American soccer. It just sounds weird.
Hey, man. You know?
It is weird, yeah. Trust me. Yeah.
And as far as the pay differences, do you think that the fact that obviously you said the attendance is declining in the United States, but do you think that they get paid more in the European because it is their national sport, but also the fact that people could just go up to the gates and bet on the game, as opposed to here where there's a lot of states that still have not, you know, legalized online betting or betting in general.
I guess I never thought about it that way. That's probably definitely a big factor in the over there. But I think the biggest thing is you look at American, our philosophy, for some reason, it's more you're buying into the league you're playing in. So for these MLS clubs, I forget how much Austin Bold paid to be in the MLS. I want to say $350 million, but don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. You have to pay into the league, basically. Same thing with the league I'm going into. They're paying, I think it's $10,000, $15,000 just to compete in the league for the summer. Over there, it's you form a team and you start from whatever level they think. So I don't know the exact understanding of how they do it, but you start at a specific spot and they have pro rel. So basically, if you win your league, you move up. If you win your league, you move up. If you lose or you're at the bottom of the table, you just go down. So it's a fluctuating process. And obviously, the more you win, the more sponsors you bring on, the more TV time you bring on. So there's so many factors over there. And we just, for some reason, won't adopt it. And again, it's political, it's money. They want their money for you to be in the league. Over there, it's just fight to your death, but you'll get your money once you win or once you get more sponsors. So That's my opinion, but I never thought about the sports betting thing. I think that would probably be a huge benefit for American soccer system.
Yeah, or any sport for that matter. So you're saying like MLS is kind of like, it's like a startup league. Because it's not fully, they're not like fully immersed with the, if teams have to continue paying to be a part of it and things like that. So that's very interesting. And you spoke about TV time, and you are a great ball distributor.
All right, look at that.
Oh, they're killing me.
And they love watching you play, my friend.
Everyone loves watching you play.
I mean, you must be like the Beatles when you go play.
So that leads to my next question. Can we watch you play? Are these games going to be televised? Probably in the North Dakota area and that area, if they are. How would we go about watching some of your games when the season starts?
So I forget what we use. Down in Florida, we use MyKuju.tv. It's like an online streaming platform. I think they have to pay like a club fee or something along those lines. But everything's streamed from there. I think some teams do YouTube as well. Some teams do Facebook. No, it's out there, which is great that there's resources for it. The only issue is trying to gain the attraction for fans to watch it, trying to get Americans in general just to start to enjoy the sport, which once that starts to happen, I personally truly believe that the growth of soccer will just be exponential at that point. And the biggest problem, in my opinion, too, is you look at overseas, each city or small village has their own club team. It doesn't matter if they're at the bottom of the table or if they're at the top of the table. People go out and watch them, support them. It's an hour and a half. They'll go and pay the 10 quid or whatever it may be and just watch, support, go grab a pint, whatever it may be. Here, it's just there's nothing along those lines. There's no atmosphere to it. Sadly, you say, hey, I'm going to go watch a soccer game. A lot of guys are going to be like, are you serious? You're going to go watch soccer? There's football or there's basketball on. Let's go watch that. Yeah. So it's an evolving thing. There's a lot more youth playing. It's just it's going to take time. And I think a lot of things with the soccer system has to change in order to make it grow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So everyone wants to know when you have more info. So when the season starts, let us know where it is. Yeah. We'll share it. We'll share it on our socials, on our stories, so people can have the opportunity to watch you play. Because us too, because we want to see you in action, seeing you behind the scenes a couple times. But we want to watch this Americanized game
American soccer.
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about pay. So, you're saying the pay's up. What's the comparison between what they pay, say, soccer players like yourself and, let's say, the soccer players in Europe? That they're not big stars, not the Messis or the Neymars or the PKs of the world over there. Like, do the lower level guys, do they get paid much more money than American soccer players?
I wouldn't say it's much more. Again, from just living over there, even just the cost of living itself is, lower. So obviously they can live off of it. You get incentives over there. If you score in a game, you get maybe like a $50 bonus or $100 or anything along those lines. And here, I forget who I was watching, but it was some YouTuber and they were stating MLS, I think the minimum cap salary right now is $250,000. It's going up to $700,000, I think, soon. But then once you get the USL Championship, USL League One, and then NISA, I think some guys are making $500 a month just playing soccer. And then I think the cap up there is close to $50,000 to $75,000, which, again, is livable wage. However, for the guys that are playing semi-professional or the lower professional leagues, they're not making enough. So they got to find a second job. And which the good part is, professional athletes, people don't know it, but they have so much time on their hands that they have zero idea what to do with it. So for a lot of these guys, they'll go get second jobs or they'll train kids or do whatever. So pay-wise, again, you got to look at it, though, from each league level, starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Obviously, guys aren't going to get paid much, but once you start to move up in the tiers, guys get paid quite a bit of money. So that's the attractive pool playing overseas, but again, it's I just don't like America's soccer system. So
we have a question
from a lady.
Oh my gosh.
What are the colors of the team?
I'm pretty sure they're yellow and white. I'm pretty sure.
and what was the name? What's the name of the team?
Dakota Fusion FC.
Dakota Fusion FC. So for our viewers who want to watch some soccer, Dakota Fusion FC. Let me ask you this, Cohen. You obviously play, train. Have you thought about coaching? Being a head coach of a team, has that crossed your mind?
Man, I get asked this a lot. Yes and no. For me, training is just on the individual small group of players that I have. So I get to just focus on what they need to develop on. Team atmosphere is, in my opinion, completely different. You're going to have people that like you, don't like you, which isn't a bad thing. It's just at that point, you have to be politically correct. On my end, I get to train these kids. I don't have any association with Club A and Club B. I get to pull kids from Club A and Club B. I get to train them technically to help them out. Don't get me wrong. Maybe in the future, I'll look at possibly doing coaching, but I have no interest right now with coaches that I talk to and hearing parents just complain about their coaches not developing kids. So that's where my main focus is just continue to develop players.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Another you. Here we go.
So he works so well as a trainer.
Look, man.
Yeah. No, you're very knowledgeable in everything that's going on. And I certainly trust you to train my children. I'm looking to. So what would your advice be? I got a 3-year-old. You know, she could be four. This I want to try and look into getting her involved in soccer. What would be like the first steps as far as getting her started and getting her try to get interested in it? Because she's got so much energy, she loves to run. So I feel like, and apparently Americans like to run, as you say. So
I'd say the first start is just to get her in the youth league, start to see her. If she starts to enjoy it, she grows fond of it. And at that point, it's just assessing for you if you think she has a future in it, which, again, it's hard to say for a kid at 6 years old, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, that's when the kid learns the most at that age. So once they hit like 11 and 12, their brain, for some reason, just doesn't retain information when it comes to soccer sports in general. So like I tell most of my kids, I got a lot of 9 and 10 year olds right now that I'm training that they're going to be good quality players at the end of the day once they get older, because they're going to have that technique that's just going to be engraved in their head. Once they get older, you can start to build off of it. So that's where I'd start, is just youth league, see if she enjoys it. Then after that, it's more or less getting her involved possibly into more competitive teams, trying to get her to see the different atmosphere from just going out and running and just kicking a ball and being bumblebees and following the ball wherever it goes. And then getting her into more of a structure where you know, this is exactly how you pass, this is how you work as a team. And then from there, that's when you get to say, hey, I think she needs extra training. I want her to be at the top of her age level. For me, I train kids to be at least an age group above or even 2 age groups above thinking and just technically gifted. That's how I was. I was fortunate enough to have a trainer that also did the same exact thing for me. So once I got to high school, it was just, I was flying through the collars at that point. So that would be my advice to anybody out there that's trying to get their, you know, kid more involved. For older kids, again, that's, you got to figure out, do they like it? Do they want to do it? I'd hate to have a kid come to me and say, hey, I want to train. They go out there and just half-butt it for half the session. Now, I want kids out there fully devoted to wanting to get better. I'm not there to babysit. I'm not there to collect your money just to get paid instead of training a kid. I want to make sure they're getting the most out of it. So that's my advice to parents along those lines.
Yeah. Oh, we got E in the audience. Do you know E, Cohen?
I have no idea who E is.
Oh, okay, so
all right,
we have E from Entourage in
Apparently E is out there.
All right, Kevin Connolly, thank you for joining us. How old were you when you first joined a team or something of the sort?
I started playing when I was 4. So
wow, okay.
Starting from there and up. Sadly, I was involved in too many sports at a young age, which I wish, looking back on it now, that I wish I would have adapted to one sport and just focused on one sport and trained all the way through. Again, I think that's a big misconception for parents in general in America that, you know, hey, my kid plays 3 sports. That's going to be appealing to a college coach. Or you hear college coaches all the time saying, oh, we like 3 multi-sports players. So it's different. Soccer is just different. It's something that I can't take 2 months off of and then say, oh, I'm going to be fine, go right back into it. I'm going to be rusty as rusty can be. Football, yeah, you're going to lose your footwork. Don't get me wrong along those lines, but I can tell you go run a route and you're going to be able to catch a ball. Same thing with baseball. You're going to know how to swing. You're going to know how to field. Soccer is just, people don't understand. It's a misconception that, again, I truly feel at the age of 12, 13, that I tell most of my parents or the trainees' parents, like, listen, if soccer's it, you got to sit down with them, discuss it, see if they really want to do it. And you got to start to possibly pull them from other things and start to get them to really focus on developing their skills at that point, which telling parents is hard to do. They don't really see it the same way that, you know, trainers or players.
Yeah, of course.
However, being in the game for so long, seeing and talking with so many people, having coaches that were former EPL players and academy scouts and whatnot, they say the same thing. You got to, by middle school, you got to know. And again, it's hard, but it's just a decision you got to make and stick with.
Yeah.
Great advice. Thanks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned something earlier that caught my attention. You said coaches don't like trainers or coaches have issues. Why would a coach have an issue with a trainer if you're just helping the kid better his skills?
Thank you. I try to compare everything to other American sports. Football, every football, you know, coach wants their player to go and get better at whatever it may be, lifting, getting heavier, putting on weight, going and, you know, doing the foot skills and whatnot. Baseball, same thing. American soccer, I truly believe coaches think they know it all, which some coaches know a great deal, some coaches don't, but it's such a unnoticed sport that they see the money that can flow into their pocket. A lot of club coaches have all these players. So I have four players right now up north from where I'm at, and their coach does these large group trainings that are technical for foot skills. And the parents tell me, oh, we do this as well. We're going to do this and your private training. They gained the two private trainings and said, we are done with the foot skills. They've learned ample amount more from you than anything else. And it's like he was saying, it's just more of the money scheme. It's more realizing that if I lose players, what's going to happen. And a lot of other coaches also believe that I'm going to teach their players my philosophy of soccer and not to follow their roles or anything. Mm. I'm a club neutral trainer. I don't care what you teach your players. I'm just there to teach them the technical ability. So it's like a tug of war for me. Wherever I go, it's hard to restart and build. But once you start to get your name out there, just like probably the podcast, once you start to get it out there, just rolls and rolls and rolls. So
yeah,
it's difficult.
There's a lot of insecurity in the coaching business. Final question from me. Have you watched Ted Lasso?
No, I have not watched Ted Lasso. Is that something I should watch?
Yeah, it's about a guy who's a college coach who goes and coaches in England or something, like a soccer team.
Really?
Like I think of the Premier League. Yeah, you check it out.
I'll have to watch that for sure then.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Got another comment here.
Oh, here we go.
That is very true.
Oh, your dad was a good player. All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Awesome. And did he play, you know, semi-pro, pro?
No, I'm pretty sure he only played up through high school at that point, and then I don't know exactly what happened. I forget the fine details of it.
Gotcha. So I want to, you know, just take a second before we let you go and move from football to football. Dolphins, Dolphins fan, right? So what was your take on this season? What's your take on Tua? And if you had the opportunity to grab Deshaun Watson, what are your thoughts on it?
Listen, the Dolphins lost me some money this year because I firmly believe they're going to the playoffs. And then they just didn't win at the last needed games. They did not win. So they lost money. Not happy with them. I was a heavy liker of Fitzpatrick, in my honest opinion. I like Fitzmagic so much. I don't know why. I just thought he could win the games. Tua, I just thought was, I wouldn't say young in the aspect. I would just say he's not experienced. He's not involved with the game as much. But other than that, I thought they did well. They exceeded the expectations, I thought. And I thought they were going to have a big losing season. Deshaun Watson, I don't know. I just don't know with their backfield and all that fun stuff. You know, I just don't know. It's hard for me to tell. We competed last year. I just don't know if it's something you try to bring in a Deshaun Watson and see what he can do, or you try to stick to and hopefully he improves, which is my hope. But we just draft too many quarterbacks at this point in time and try to get too many. I'm over it.
We have a Houston fan in the audience
who's pretty depressed about that.
Our condolences.
Deshaun's going to the Dolphins, people. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't coming to the Jets. He's going to the Dolphins.
What do you think about Dak Prescott, his new contract?
We're going to get into that for sure. But if you want to put in your two cents, by all means, sound off.
I think he's a great quarterback. I don't know. Here's my thing. You look at the Zeke and him combo at the beginning of the season, it was just on fire. I think if they would have kept going, it would have been, again, on fire. I just don't know if it's worth that much money, especially coming from an injury. I don't think you can dump that much money on somebody without knowing what they can produce. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in every other sport. Somebody comes back from a terrible injury, they're not going to be 100%. Maybe a few years. I don't know. If anybody's really deserving of it, I think Cam Newton needs a team as well. I don't know if you guys
talked about that.
I like Cam Newton. I think he was a good quarterback. I think he could do well. I just don't think he's the Patriots fit. They're not for him. I just think he needs to find another team. But that's my two cents.
I've never been a big Cam fan. I just don't know what it is. I think that the little kid that said he's going to be better than Cam was right. At that point in time, I thought he was better than Cam.
That's too funny, but.
Awesome. Yeah, no. So yeah, no. We're gonna get into our DAC reaction plus a lot of other news around the NFL because there's been a lot going on in the last few days. But tell our audience where they can find you, and you're gonna obviously share the links to the streaming services when the season starts. But until then, where could they find you and find more about you?
Biggest thing is I just tell people Instagram going real, Twitter same exact thing. For the training aspect of things, definitely Real Training LLC via Facebook and Instagram. I'm looking into starting a new little side gig as well, doing video highlights for soccer players. So if anybody's interested in that, they can also reach me via that way. So those are just the couple things to get a hold of me, and the email is also realcohen@gmail.com now. So they can get a hold of me that way.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for coming on tonight, man. Greatly appreciate it. It's good catching up with you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And hopefully third time's a charm and I'll finally be overseas at that point. So
there we go.
Yeah.
Keep us posted for sure. Yeah, and stay backstage and you can listen to our rants on the NFL.
And Ted Lasso. Make sure you watch Ted Lasso.
I'm gonna write that down now. So I appreciate it, guys.
Look at that. Rick's telling somebody to watch something.
I don't watch anything.
If you don't know, Rick hasn't watched like half the sports movies.
I think I watched three sports movies. That's about it.
That's too funny.
All right, Cohen, it was an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep, all right, have a good one.
All right.
Yep, you as well.
All right, there it is, Cohen Real.
Always great to have him on.
Yeah. Man, he's got a following, huh? We need to have that. Like, everywhere he goes, man, it's 20 people. That's a
great player, great trainer, great kid all together. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Yeah. So why wouldn't they want to be friends with him and follow him everywhere? So kudos to Cohen, and he works hard.
He does.
And he's doing everything that he can to go and play where he wants to play.
Yeah, he wants to be in Europe, though. You can tell. He wants to be in Europe. That's where he wants to be. So hopefully he can get out there and make some happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. News and notes. Time to get into it.
I mean, let's get into Dak because we did talk about it. So he's making about $40 million a year. What is it going to be, like the third highest annual gross salary player as far as quarterbacks go? And I like Dak. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great quarterback. But he hasn't done anything to earn that type of money. And I think it's too much. But I also don't think there's a lot of Cowboys fans that are very irate about this. And now they want to go and I see a lot of people sounding off saying that they want to move over and root for the Giants because the Cowboys are just this horrible organization. No, the horrible organization is the one that one of our fans in the audience, a couple of miles south or a couple of miles east, southeast, and the Houston Texans out there. They are just a train wreck right now. Dak is a good player. They're paying a good player. Yes, I think it's too much, but they want him, and they spared no expense to keep him on the team and wearing that star.
Yeah, so I disagree with you. I think this signing was one that they needed to make. Dak Prescott is the perfect quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, both on the field and off. Carries himself. Yes, he got hurt last year, but who came in? Andy Dalton. They weren't any They were terrible. They weren't any better. And so, you know, so, and people who rip Dak and say he's not an elite quarterback. Look, the guy with the Cowboys wins. He leads that team. He is that team. And so I think the contract is ridiculous. I think he gets it's a 4-year, $160 million contract. Mm-hmm. It's a $66 million signing bonus. He's going to make $75 million in the first year, $66 in the second, and so on and so forth. He gets a $1 million incentive if he makes a Super Bowl. So, look, for Jerry Jones, I think he had to make this deal. I think they couldn't let him go. You can't keep searching for a quarterback. Once you land one and he's yours, you got to keep him, man. And they were saying today, I was reading today that somehow I think that Jerry Jones knows there's this new TV money deal coming in, and so that's why he gave him that contract. But I think Jerry also realizes, look, I got a good quarterback on my hands. I'm not going to find another. He doesn't want to rebuild with another quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you protect him and just make sure he stands up there, you got Amari Cooper on there. You got Ezekiel Elliott around there. Mike McCarthy's second year. The Cowboys should be the best team in the NFC East. So I have no problem with the signing. I agree with it 100%. People are going to say, well, Jerry hasn't won a Super Bowl since 95. And he's always made these signings don't work. No, man. He's got a franchise quarterback. You keep the guy. You keep him there. You don't want to put yourself in a situation like Philadelphia where they're releasing or trading Wentz and keeping Hurts or like the Jets who don't have a quarterback or Goff who gets traded. No, you got your guy. He's your fit. Sign him. You did the right thing. And now just build around him.
No, I thought it's a good signing. I think that the Cowboys should have kept him. Yeah. I just think they overpaid. I think they overpaid. Well, was there any other team that was close? They didn't even get to start that.
I think if he hits free agency, I think another team would have definitely given that money. 100%. Their team, the Bears need a quarterback, right? The Jets need a quarterback. Washington football team needs a quarterback. The 49ers looking to trade for a quarterback. Yeah. Right, I get all that. But if he hits the free agent market, somebody's going to sign him. They're going to give him that money. So you got – last year was a freak accident. He got hurt. But it also showed that without him, they're not a formidable team. They just can't win without him. So you got to sign that guy. You got to keep the guy – you got to keep him. And the money, I think the money is fine. Did he reset the quarterback? No, he didn't.
I think he's third most.
Because in a couple of years with the TV money and with the money the NFL is making, that contract's going to be, it's going to pay for itself. I think he's going to be fine. So I don't think the money was an issue. I think you sign your guy, you give him what he deserves. And Dak bet on himself, like it was saying in an article today. I think it was Bleacher Report. He bet on himself and he won.
Yeah, and so is it the TV money from the Amazon deal?
The Amazon deal? I'm wondering, see, the Amazon deal or the new like TV contract money that's going to come in to the NFL. But I think he needed to do this. Plus, Jerry Jones keeps getting into controversies with players. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need a drawn out battle with these guys. He's paying his money.
Pay that man's money.
Teddy KGB says, "Pay that man. Pay that man his money," as you just eloquently said.
He won fair and square. He won.
What do you say? He beat me straight up.
He beat me straight up. Yeah. Dak beat them straight up.
Paid it. Yeah.
Dak purposely broke his ankle so Dalton could play and show them.
And hey, he got tagged.
WWE. If it was like WWE, that's what happened.
And he got tagged too. He was franchise tagged.
Yeah, last year.
But I think that was a formality they had to do to tag him.
Yeah, of course. That's just the one step that you take before you have to negotiate even further. But I guess let's talk about franchise tagging.
Quickly on Dak's contract. $75 million in the first year. He's getting a $66 million signing bonus and then $9 million salary. He's earning $40 million per season, $2.5 million per game, $41,667 dollars per minute and $694 per second played. It's just an incredible contract.
And still low in terms of
quarterbacks, yep.
In terms of athletes.
Yeah. Now mind you, he's in Texas, no state tax, so good for him.
Yeah, good for him on that. So, you know, Deshaun Watson's going to lose out unless he goes to Florida.
I think he's going to end up going. I think I think that's where he's going to land. He's going to be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
If anything, just for the whole tax, the tax incentive. Yeah, because if he goes to New York, he's screwed.
He's screwed, yeah. If he goes to the 49ers,
wait,
he's screwed.
Wait. They play in Jersey, though, right? So
he's even worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
He'll get double taxed.
Of course, the Niners would be bad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I guess it – what about Colorado? What are they – Colorado has some – tax incentive, right?
Yeah, no, they have state tax. Yeah, they do.
No, but they have like tax breaks there.
I think so. I'm pretty sure they do.
I think they got revenue for your pot and stuff out there. I think.
Yeah, but right? I still think if you have money, you're gonna pay taxes over there. Uncle Sam's gonna get his money either way.
Well, of course, but not New York money.
Yeah. No.
Not New York, New Jersey, no San Francisco. Better than those three. But
speaking of quarterbacks, the rumor mill is buzzing. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, let's talk about the franchise tags
first. All right, so let's talk about the franchise tags first. Okay.
So a couple of franchise taggies, couple of people that didn't make the cut. Chris Godwin, he's staying put.
Tampa
Bay Buccaneers also got an extension for Lavonte David over there. So they're trying to keep their core alive and keep them in Tampa Bay so they can compete yet another year. Another franchise tag was – who was the other guy? I guess we'll go to him. There was somebody else. But, yeah, let's just go to the
– hold on. I'll tell you right now because I'm looking at the franchise tags right now. The other one who was franchise tagged – you mean wide receiver?
There was a notable name. I don't know.
Marcus May for the Jets got franchised. Leonard Williams for the Giants.
Yeah.
Cam Robinson got tagged. Justin Simmons, the safety head of Denver, got tagged. Taylor Motton from Carolina got tagged.
Brandon Scheff from Washington football team,
he got tagged. Yeah. Joe Thuney, the New England Patriots, let him go into free agency.
And Marcus
Williams, the safety out of New Orleans.
Okay, yes. One notable non-franchise tag is Aaron Jones. So Aaron Jones is going to hit free agency.
Yeah.
You know, the talented Green Bay Packers running back. He's going to hit the free agent market, and he's a great running back. But they have AJ Dillon, they got Jamal Williams over there, and it's probably going to cost a little bit of money. And honestly, I think he's better than they even utilized him in Green Bay. And I think this is going to be great for Aaron Jones, not only for the money purposes and the salary purposes. But he's gonna play for a team that's gonna utilize him to the best of his ability.
Absolutely.
And the guy, he's got like a career plus like 5+ yards per carry. That's he puts up Derrick Henry numbers, but doesn't get Derrick Henry's touches.
Yeah, he gets no respect. It's just he gets no respect.
Well, it's just because of the game, the game plan that
because it's all about Aaron Rodgers.
Because
over there, you know?
Because the Green Bay Packers are like fucking American soccer teams. They just fucking
they just line up and go. It's all right, yeah. No, but yeah, I think also it revolves around Aaron Rodgers. But I think you take a guy like you let a guy like that go. It just I don't know. You want some experience back there. You want somebody who's dependable over there. And Green Bay is funny. They always do this. They don't keep players around that'll make an impact for their team. Look. When's the last time they won a Super Bowl? 95?
No. No.
They won a Super Bowl? 95? When's the last time they won a Super Bowl?
Aaron Rodgers won.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I forgot about it. 2009 or whatever it is, right?
Something like that. That something sounds like that. About right.
With that guy, they should have
won. Steelers.
They beat the Steelers. Yeah. It was Ben's second Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was 2008. It was 2009.
Because Ben won in 8 after the Giants.
After the Giants, and then I think, no.
Antonio Holmes won.
Oh, it was Antonio Holmes.
Yeah, so Antonio Holmes was Ben, and they lost one. Did they lose? No, wait. No, they won.
Was it the 10, one
with
maybe?
The one with the questionable break in the plane. That was the one that they won, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then they didn't go back-to-back. So
no, they didn't go back to back.
9. I would say 11.
11. I'd Let's probably, say it was 11.
I'd probably say 11.
Yeah, but so yeah. You've had probably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game, and you've only won one with him. This is what I mean. They let talent go away. They don't acquire great talent. They don't do a great job of building a team around the guy. Like, he should have won more. And so Aaron Jones getting released, where do you see him landing? What's a good spot for him to go?
I don't know. He can go anywhere. He can go to Buffalo. They're in dire need for a running game. It showed this year that they could not play with the Chiefs.
They could have used the running back against the Chiefs to eat some clock. I mean, they could use him.
And they got a good offensive line. It's just their running backs just didn't have they were down one. Granted, but Aaron Jones is a game changer. If the Bills got so close this year, I think adding Aaron Jones to your team makes them a Super Bowl contender instantly.
Yeah,
that's my opinion. I think that one makes the most sense. I think that the Dolphins could make sense. I think that obviously the Jets are still rebuilding.
The Jets need a young guy. They're looking at the kid from Clemson.
The Eagles are – the whole NFC East is pretty good on running backs.
San Francisco could use a back out
there. The Patriots could utilize them. They could utilize them. But I think Buffalo makes the most sense, to be honest with you.
I really do.
I think that it would be a good fit for both sides.
Question is, are they going to sign to the kind of money he's going to want?
And he can play in the snow.
Right, exactly, because he's played in that cold weather. But are they going to give him the contract that he wants? He's going to want big money.
Of course he's going to want big money.
Yeah, but are they going to give it to him? Is Buffalo the type of organization that's going to sign him?
But do you want a Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, of course. All 32 teams want the trophy. Okay. But some people are – some organizations – yes, they traded for Stephon Diggs, but you're going to pay a running back. And usually running back contracts after their like second year – look at Le'Veon Bell. That contract was a disaster. I'm not saying he's Le'Veon, but that's some of the things you got to worry about in the latter years of a contract.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it makes too much sense to sign him, to be honest. Right. But
so Aaron Jones with the Bills, you heard it here first.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'm going to stick to that.
There you go.
I'm going to stick to that one. But yeah, so another franchise tag. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson is staying put with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be happy about it. He's probably going to, you know, try and hold out as much as he can because he didn't want to stay with the Bears. Man. But simultaneously to Adam Schefter reporting that Allen Robinson was franchise tagged, Russell Wilson tweeted about God being good. I don't have it pulled up. I had it before.
Yeah.
But that was the premise of it. And Chicago fans are just going crazy on the comments. And there's some smoke that's possible that Russell Wilson could end up in Chicago.
I think it's pretty obvious that he's not getting along with Pete Carroll. And I think he is starting to lay the groundwork to get out of there. If you are Chicago, and what's going to take to get Russell Wilson is going to be a tremendous trade package. Are you going to blow up your drafts to get Russell Wilson? Is Chicago a team that's going to a Super Bowl if you trade for Russell Wilson? Because I'm not sure about that. Mind you, him going back to the Midwest because he did go to Wisconsin, he knows how to play in that kind of weather.
I don't think they go to a Super Bowl. No, they're not going to go to a Super Bowl.
There's your answer, man.
Yeah, so you know, I think Saints probably make the most sense.
Yeah, but because here's the thing: these guys want to leave, right? Because they're not allowed to have input, or teams aren't drafting well, or whatever the case is. But they're going to go to a team that has nothing to. They can't rebuild with what they're giving up. They just unless you have a great GM, you need picks, you need drafts, you need money for free agency, and these guys are going to go to these teams, and they're not going to have any of that flexibility. They're not going to have any of it.
Yeah, but the Bears were sneaky, and they made the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky. They were sneaky. They were sneaky a lot of the year, and they got Khalil Mack there. So I guess I wouldn't count them out completely. I don't think Super Bowl in 1 year, but hey, if they can get Russell Wilson and Aaron Jones, then there may be a little bit more smoke there.
And then you have Matt Nagy's the coach over there. You think Matt Nagy is a Super Bowl coach? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got him to a Super Bowl with Mitchell Trubisky, but I don't know.
Playoffs.
Whatever. I'm sorry. Playoffs.
Yeah. Easy
there. It's been a long day.
What was I about to say? I can't.
No. Oh, I can't remember. I wanted to bring this up. So Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk, obviously he's on WFAN, did the round of shows on his podcast. Chris Sims has said that Zach Wilson reminds him a little bit of Patrick Mahomes, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers, a little bit of Josh Allen, and that he has him above Trevor Lawrence for the number one quarterback to go out of this draft. So if you're the Jets at two, if you're the Jaguars at one, and Urban Meyer, do you pause and say, now, wait a minute, let's take a look at this tape again? Or are the Jags going to be like, you know what, we're going with Trevor Lawrence. And then if you're the Jets at two, are you taking Zach Wilson? Are you staying put with Darnold? Or are you trading out of that pick to get more picks to move down to, say, to four and grab a quarterback and then grab some more players?
Yeah, I think Darnold's days are done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to trade him. They'll probably get like a low second. They're waiting out for a mid to low second.
Yeah.
So the question is, if you're the Jets then, are you taking Zach Wilson or are you trading down? Because the draft starts at two. Forget what happens at one. The draft starts there. Unless Jacksonville does the incredible and takes Zach Wilson and just blows the whole draft.
Okay. Let's say hypothetically Trevor Lawrence goes to the Jaguars.
Okay.
I think that the Jets should draft Zach Wilson.
All right.
And they should sign Kenny Galladay, who okay. was not franchise tagged today mm-hmm. and will be hitting the open market.
Yeah.
And I think pairing him with Mims and maybe Herndon could do something. Rashard Perriman, did we sign him for 1 year?
1 year. He's not going to get
it. He's gone. And who else we got there?
So we got Mims, Crowder still on the team, but he might be a cut. They might release him because of that salary cap.
Yeah. Who was that other one? Berrios had flashes.
Braxton Berrios.
I don't know if he's still around there, but there was that other guy. Who was the other guy that we had that was a little – he flashed at points this year.
I can't remember. The Jets receivers were just brutal. Other than Mims, they all sucked. But, no, this is a deep draft too. So the Jets can get a receiver in the second round or in the third round. This is a very deep wide receiver draft again. But Douglas has to draft some wide receivers. We can't take another James Morgan in the fourth round, a quarterback who's never going to play. I don't know why he picked them, but we can't do that this year. We need some offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. And on free agency, man, if the Jets can find a way to sign Shaq Barrett, God. Oh, that right there is the signing that I want free agency is Shaq Barrett. I want that guy to get his money. Robert Saleh to coach him. You put him with Quinnen Williams, and good Lord.
All right. Well, we'll say it's going to be an exciting offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking. And if the Jets decide, you know what, we'll trade out of two, we'll pick up a pick, move to four, and take a quarterback later in the first round and take Kyle Pitts at four, I'll be even happy with that.
No, I guess we'll see. Like it's definitely a feasible possibility. We have a little less than 2 months. What, we got 6 weeks until
6 weeks of the draft.
Oh, my
That's goodness. Going to be a great April 29th, folks, the NFL draft.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. We will be taking the night off, most likely.
Yeah, we'll be taking night off.
Yeah.
I'll be tuning into a live talk Jets radio. So, great show by those guys.
Yeah, and I had one more honorable mention for the NFL, but I cannot remember what I was going to say anymore. So, we definitely covered a lot. Oh, yes. Yes. We were talking about Watson. We were talking about Wilson. Everyone knows the news about Wentz just a few weeks ago. We have a new article out on our site right now talking about really what happened, why these quarterbacks need to move and why they want out pretty much. Yeah. And so go take a look. It's playingthefield.io. Our blog is listed there. You can take a look at our Twitter, Facebook. And the link is right on our Playing the Field page. So please take a look at that. And it's a very good read from one of our great interns, Mr. Tanner Johnson, who you've seen on the show before. And
our resident hockey analyst.
Our resident hockey analyst as well.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to mention quickly our condolences to the passing of the late Mark Pavlich. He played on the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team.
Very
part of the Miracle on Ice, passed away at 63 in a mental health facility. He was going through a lot, and that obviously that was one of the most iconic moments in sports. And so our condolences to him and our family, and he's in our prayers.
Yes, and Mr. Walter Gretzky as well.
Right.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace to both of them.
Yes. Yeah. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, we covered it all, man.
And we
Knicks are back on Thursday night. Let's go, second half playoff run, baby.
We have a great show in line for you on Thursday. We got former NFL player and current TikTok superstar, Hakeem Ballas. Great guy. And we are so excited to have him on Thursday night. It all happens right here, same place, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Until then, have a great night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Stay safe. Peace.
Thanks. Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do. For friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests. Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.